Our next guest on Downtown recorded her first album in 1961. Her most recent album, a duet with Stephen Stills entitled Everybody Knows, was released last year. More than 50 years in the business, Judy Collins has become well known for her incredible voice and her eclectic choice of material to record through the years. She'll be appearing in Maine twice this month, July 13th at the Criterion Theater in Bar Harbor and the 14th at Aura in Portland. We're pleased to have Judy Collins join us here on Downtown. It takes a seasoned pro to know the right time to come to Maine. Well played, booking a couple of shows here in mid-July.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'll be welcome there, and I'll be glad to be there and happy.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Again, you'll be at the Criterion on July 13th in Bar Harbor and at Aura in Portland on the 14th. You've been doing a lot of touring lately with old friend Stephen Stills, and of course you collaborated with him on the album Everybody Knows It. What's that experience been like getting back together musically after all these years?
Well, it's been wonderful. It's been a long time in coming. We've never done anything like it, but now we're in our second year of touring, and we think we really earned it. After all these years, it's a lot of fun.
And I saw the conversation you two had on CBS Sunday Morning, which was just wonderful. And he talked about you two being the perfect partners musically, and you've been able to find something in music that didn't work out for you on the personal front those many years ago.
Yes, I think it was always meant that we'd be doing music instead of the other thing. And we know, because we've both been through the fire and brimstone of being artists on the road with big careers, having relationships with other people and professionally and personally. So we've learned a lot, and I always say it's a little like couples therapy a little late, but it worked very well.
Now, is the story true that Sweet Judy Blue Eyes was his attempt to win you back?
Oh, yes, it was. Well, he said he would have done anything. I now know that he's finally confessed that all of those songs really were about me, Helplessly Hoping and all the others. So You Don't Need to Cry and You Don't Have to Cry. Oh, you know, they were all written for me, and it was a grand finale to a wonderful love affair.
Well, you've done pretty well in the love affair you're in now. Over 22 years of marriage, you've been with your husband for more than 40 years. That's not exactly the rock and roll lifestyle.
No, it isn't, and it sure does work for me.
Well, we're very glad to hear that. What keeps the energy going for you? What gives you the desire to continue to be out there touring and making new music?
I always want to be an artist. I always want to be better. I always want to write a new song. I always want to write a new poem, a new book. And I've just put out, it's coming out on the 6th or the 7th of this month, I have a song about the Dreamers called The Dreamers, and that's coming out with this video, and it has, of course, a political slant as well as a personal and social one. And, you know, it was it's the result of just keeping my hand in and doing new songs and keeping writing every day. That's what I have to do.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that, because I wanted to ask you why it seems, from my perspective anyway, that music doesn't play quite the same role today in activism that it did in the 60s and early 70s.
Well, each time is different, and I don't think there's any question that it has to be a good song or a certain kind of song to break through. We don't have the radio play that we used to have. If you go to festivals, and if you get online to new music, you'll find that a lot of music that's being written today is reminiscent and how always has been, because what we were doing in the 60s was writing about life, and that's what we're still doing.
Hi, Judy. This is Bruce Pratt. I wanted to ask you this question after I heard you on NPR tell the story of being the snowed-in song story. I was sitting backstage with people you knew after we'd all played a gig about 30 years ago, Eric Von Schmidt, Dave Van Ronk, Ramblin' Jack Elliott, Paul Jeremiah, myself. And Dave said, you know, I always thought it would last forever. It would keep rolling in. Everything would always work. Some of you made it work and others didn't. What were the great choices you made that's allowed you to sustain this brilliant career that you've had for so long now?
Well, I was lucky because in the beginning of my life, for the first 15, 16, 17, 18 years, I was trained. I was trained as a pianist, first of all, a musician, a singer, a participant. I learned how to do what is required, which is to show up for all the shows, to do all the press, to do all the meet and greets, to go out and shake hands with the public, because my father was a performer and a great pianist and singer and entertainer. So I got to learn all of that. And the mechanics of it are what still work. And the discipline of having to practice every day is still with me. And so I've had a lot of good fortune, as a lot of learning in terms of health. And I've learned not to do things. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't eat crap. I live the life of an athlete. But that comes over time, and you learn to let go of the things that don't work. So you clear the path in a way so that your early training and all the inspiration that you get today can actually come to fruition. But that's what every artist has to learn. Also, I know, I was talking to Jack Holzman the other day. Jack is president, was president of Elektra. He's still working for Warner's at 87 years old. And he's a brilliant man. And he used to drag us over across to Brooklyn and so forth in the Bronx to meet with the distributors and to do all the things that you have to do everything. I mean, that's the truth. It doesn't matter if you're living in the digital age or the age that we were living in, which was the analog age. You have to do everything. And of course it's a pain in the ass sometimes, but you know, so is being a rancher and having to go out in a snowstorm and help a horse give birth to a colt. It's all about showing up.
We're talking with Judy Collins here on Downtown. I heard a conversation Paul McCartney had recently, and someone asked him about retirement, and he said, retire from what? I mean, certainly it's work, but if you're an artist, you do what you do for as long as you can do it, right?
That's right. Whether you write or paint or sing or design jewelry or whatever it is, you're always going to be working.
You've always had such a skill, not only at writing your own songs, but finding wonderful songs that others wrote that you could turn into your own and make them so very personal. Is that something that you learned along the way?
Sure. I learned it from my dad. He always picked the great songs. He'd get all the shows, you know, on these great big vinyl records. And if you sat on them, they'd break into 55 pieces. But he always chose the best songs. And he taught me how to do that. I don't know. I can't explain it because it has to do with the fact that you fall in love with a song. But you do know what to fall in love with after a same time. It's like, you know, when you don't fall in love with the right guy, you learn pretty quickly what not to do. And the same thing is true with music. You do find the things that work for you. I just started singing a couple of new songs that are brand new to me. I'm singing The Highwayman, which seems like an odd turn, but it's about reincarnation, which always interested me.
Our friend Jimmy Webb, one of his great songs.
I love everything he ever did.
One of the things you've also been really noted for is being able to use your incredible vocal powers to really enhance some songs. And I was thinking the other day about Who Knows Where the Time Goes. Your version of that and Sandy Denny's version, who I love, among are just so much better than anyone else I ever heard do that. How does the song find its way into you that you then know it's the right song?
Well, you fall in love with it, and then you know you can do it. You have to do it. I had to do Who Knows Where the Time Goes. We're still doing it in our show. Stephen and I, we were recording that in 1968, and I've done it. I would imagine that I've done it probably in half the shows that I've done in the past 59 years, which is a long time.
Judy Collins appearing in Bar Harbor at the Criterion Theater on July 13th and at Aura in Portland on July 14th. Judy, it's a wonderful treat for us to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Thank you. And by the way, I'm coming with Ari Hest, who's going to open for me, with whom I got a Grammy nomination last year. So it's going to be fun.
Judy, thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to talk with you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
And the great Judy Collins. joining us here on Downtown. Pretty cool stuff, huh, Bruce?
That was a huge thrill for me. I mean, one of the many people on my Mount Rushmore, and one of the few I haven't met in my lifetime. It was really great to talk to her. I always wanted to ask her that question for years.
Two shows coming up later this month, the one at the Criterion in Bar Harbor, and then at Aura in Portland on the 14th as well.